So very much. Great song, great message in song. I like that. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Romans chapter 8 while you're finding that. Nice card here from Sandra and George Crow. Thank you for all your prayers, meals, cards during the recovery time from my shoulder surgery. And a real nice thank you card to the church. Romans chapter 8, it's going to take us several weeks to get through Romans chapter 8, and I've titled the message throughout the entire chapter. We're going to have several parts to it, but the secrets of salvation, the secrets of salvation. This is message number 3 in this title we find in chapter 8. Chapter 8 is rich. I don't want to rush. I don't want to, and especially this latter part that we'll get into next time. And so I hope an encouragement, a real blessing to our hearts. Let's look, please, at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're going to pause there and let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts here tonight. Would you do that specifically? Now, we have prayed for other people. We prayed for families that are in sorrow, missionaries that are in harm's way. We prayed for ministries, teachers. We prayed for big days on this coming Sunday. We prayed for lots of things. Now, let us pray that the Lord Jesus will be lifted up high and the Holy Spirit will help us to understand His Word. Just do that. Otherwise, you're just going to endure a message. And you may or may not do so well on that. I may or may not do so well on delivering the message. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, let me share this with you. I have had times, Brother Paul, here's a pastor over here. I have had times that I have sat, listened to a preacher, and honestly, there are times that I don't know if he was off the beam or if I was off the beam. But somehow I didn't connect, you know. But the Holy Spirit used something during that message to get a hold of my heart, and I'm not so sure that preacher even said it. I believe the Holy Spirit gave it to me. And I met with the Lord. Now listen, please. It's a useless waste of time to come in God's house, to be in God's people. We're gathering together as the Bible says. I'm going to speak this to the live stream audience. Now, folks, if you can be in God's house and you are not in God's house, then you might one day be in the big house, okay? Now, you need to be in amongst God's people. Don't use this as a crutch because we may not have it on Sunday. It may not be working. You need to be in God's house. But some people are sick. Some people are ill. Some people are out of town. And this is the only way that they can have this. And that's fine. That's fine. But we have gathered together. And if God doesn't speak to our hearts, then you've wasted precious time. So would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and would you ask the Lord to speak to us here tonight? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are here to worship at the feet of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, you would quiet our hearts. And Lord, the message in song we heard just a few moments ago reminds us that you care about the needs of our life right now today. Bills, problems, sorrows, all these things. You knew about them before they ever touched our life. So Lord, help us to snuggle up close. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Lord, speak to my heart. The heart of each person that's gathered here today. And Lord, I pray that you would be the one that ministers. Lord, it's not my words. It's not any clever little sayings. It's not any tear-jerking stories that we need tonight. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit enlightening our hearts, encouraging our behavior, and Lord, directing our devotion to our Savior, who's worthy of all praise. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Every time you go to the hospital now these days, most hospitals, they ask you for your ID. And it's do you have any ID? Yeah, I've got a lot of ideas. No. They ask you, they want to prove who you are. And you pull out some form of ID, usually a driver's license or some kind of thing, and they just want to make sure that you know who you are. that's a good thing to have on our clothing. People say, you know, why do you have name tags in case I forget who I am? But you know, the Bible says in verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This brings up a beginning thought, the proof of our salvation. The proof of our salvation. Now, you know, I'm thankful that God gives us the promises of our salvation. And the promises never change. The promises are unwavering. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said that those who trust in him will never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, Jesus said. So there's nothing to worry about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we have the promises of God's salvation, but he gives us proof. And we see that in verse 14, the first proof is that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I think of this one word, actions. Actions. Actions speak louder than words. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day, someone wisely said. Our actions are proof of our salvation. The fruit, not just of our lips, but of our life. Now, by the way, folks, our life should back up our witness. It does not replace our witness. There are some people who try to say that lifestyle evangelism is all that's necessary. No, God gave us lips and a tongue. He gave us a brain, and he wants us to share the glory of salvation with others. But our life needs to back it up. It needs to back it up that God has changed us. Our actions. My family at times will say about me, they'll say, whenever I pick up the phone, they'll say, boy, you sound just like Dad, you know? And you know, you look at somebody and you say, well, you look just like your mom, you know, and these kinds of things. The markings of a Christian are seen in our behavior. The markings, our actions. This is something that we need to be aware of, that God is constantly working and chipping away the world away from our life, the world away from our behavior and our actions. The proof of our salvation is that for many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, throughout the Bible, we find a statement of so-and-so was a son of Belial. It doesn't mean that he was a son of Satan. It means that he acted just like the devil would act. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, John 1:12. And so as we serve God and as we act on his behalf, the people are hopefully going to say, now I'll tell you, if anybody's a Christian, she's a Christian. If anybody loves the Lord, he loves the Lord. And by the way, whenever someone gets into a real crisis in their life, they're not going to look for mediocre Christians to pray for them. They're not going to look for just some middle-of-the-road kind of person that shows up on Sunday morning. And they're morning glory Christians, you know. They're going to look for somebody that can't get enough of the Lord Jesus. They're going to look for someone who's here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, revival meetings. They listen to the God's word on their radio. They listen to godly music. They don't have foul language coming out of their tongue. I mean, they're going to look for someone who can get a hold of God. And they're going to want someone who they know is a child of God based on their actions. So proof of our salvation is seen first in our actions, our markings. our markings? Do we bear the markings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we act like him? And it's not a put on an act, it's our behavior, it's our actions. And then number two, look at verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is a wonderful verse. I don't know that we'll spend as much time as we probably should on this verse. But if you're jotting down notes and you jotted down the first proof of our salvation as actions, you can jot down this next word, attitudes. Attitudes. Let me show you why the Lord laid this on my heart. You see, God chose us. He adopted us. He did not have to have us. Now, you know, they say that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Okay? I'm thankful that God gave me a wonderful family. I'm thankful for my sisters. I'm thankful for my parents. But you know, there are some people that say, wow, my family is just out there, you know? And I've got to love them because they're my family. You know, I got to love them. But, you know, you love some people, but you don't like them. You know, now I'm thankful that's not the case in my family, but there are some people that I've met that would say, listen, folks, my family, oh, goodness sakes, you know, it's just a problem. But, you know, God chose us. He chose to adopt us. I mean, that's real love, reaching out and saying, I know you, I know everything about you, I know what you are going to be like, and I still love you just the same. Wow. What a wonderful thing. That should change our attitude. That should change our motive. The Bible goes on to say in verse 15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We don't serve God out of fear. We don't love God out of fear. Do you remember when you were raising your children? If you raised children, didn't you say from time to time when someone gave them something, be it a sucker or a Christmas or birthday present or whatever it may be, and they gave it to your child, and you said, and what do you say? Wow, this is great. What do you say? And you get them afterwards, don't you ever embarrass me. When someone gives you something, I'll take it away if you don't say thank you. Okay? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, we don't serve God out of fear. Perfect love, 1 John 4, verse 18, perfect love casteth out fear. Here's what casts out the fear, is that God, the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, almighty sovereign God that spoke the worlds into existence, that's going to destroy the universe and recreate it all, he says, I love you. I'm your Father. Hence, the words Abba, Father. Now, Abba, that is the Hebrew word for father. And then the word translated father is the Greek word for father. And the Lord used that in I believe it's Mark chapter 14, verse 6, when he is in the Garden of Eden, and he's praying, and he says, Abba, Father. We have a heavenly Father that we can go to. We have a faithful high priest that understands the feeling of our infirmities. All these wonderful things. Our attitude should change. You know, there are times that you go to people and be it a government official or be it someone in a school or something like that, and you ask for grace, you ask for mercy, you ask for understanding and all these kinds of things. I was a senior in high school. That's not high school. I was a senior in college. I loved my senior year so much, I took it twice. I changed majors, and I traveled my summers and always involved in ministry and always had the opportunity to work and involved in church ministry as a youth pastor my last year and all those kinds of things I'll just share this one little thing. I did fine in all my classes except for this one class, American Literature, And I think I may have mentioned this once before, but the bottom line was this. I had missed a class because I had been involved in the children's ministry. I was an Awana commander, and I had a conference that was held at our church, and so I missed that night class, and that was a whole week of cuts. And then there was another time that wasn't feeling well. You know, the reason why I wasn't feeling well is because there was a test that night, and I wasn't ready, and I didn't feel good about that. And it made me quite sick. It made me quite ill. And so the more you think about how that makes you feel, the more sick you get. And so I claimed that I was sick that time. And boy, if I would have been there that day, I would have been sick, because I just wasn't prepared, wasn't ready. And I only had about 3.5 more weeks to go. 3.5 more weeks to go. And so I thought, okay, I'm good. I got my 1 week of cuts, my 1 week of excused absences, and I only have 3 more classes to go. And about 2 weeks into that 3, I got that terrible flu, some kind of virus, some kind of thing, and I couldn't, well, it was just not pretty. I'll just leave it at that. I wasn't faking nothing. I couldn't go anywhere, and I missed that 3rd week. Dropped my final point average by 10 points. My final point average. Dropped it 1 point into the F range. 1 point, Brother John. And I contacted that teacher, and I said, Mrs. Overcash, could I please do anything? You name it. I mean, I will do anything under the sun. If I don't pass this class, I won't graduate. We've got everyone coming in. They're coming in for the graduation because 2 days, well, 1 day later, we're getting married. And I pled, and I, you know what? She stood her ground, and she said, no. No. No, no, no. No, no, no. And boy, I thought I could, you know, sway her, and I didn't. Listen, please. She was not my mother. She was not my parent. She had no obligation to me whatsoever. She could hold that line. Now, listen, please. We have a loving Heavenly Father. And although He is sovereign, and although He is almighty, and although He is true, and although He is jealous, He loves us just the same. Father, I don't know what to do. And He can work the miracles, the miraculous. That should change our attitude. Our actions, our attitude, proof of our salvation, those two things, Jesus should be seen in our actions. Jesus should be seen in our attitudes. And then Jesus should be seen in our acceptance. The intimate part of our life. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The markings, the motives, and the message in our heart. The message from the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Marcia, your father told me. He told me on Saturday. Let's see, it was Saturday, this past Saturday. He told me, he said, if I close my eyes here, I'm going to open my eyes in heaven. He said, he looked at me and he said, you either believe it or you don't. And he said, I believe it. Now, here's something to grab a hold of. About your eternal destiny, you had better know beyond any shadow of a doubt, you better know within your heart that you are a child of God. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit speaks within us, and the moving of His Holy Spirit and speaking in our heart, and we know that that Spirit of God is not us. The Bible says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. The acceptance of God. If we're indwelt by Him, then we're accepted of Him. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The proof of our salvation. Now, you're not necessarily pulling out something and proving to someone else. But you'd better be sure that you have proof that you're a child of God. You better know that, because that's the foundation. You're not going to serve God. You're not going to witness. You're not going to probably read your Bible as you should. You're probably not going to pray as you should if your salvation is not settled, because that is something that Satan will use against you every time you decide to take a stand for Jesus, every time you decide to live a dedicated life, every time that you want to point someone else to the Lord Jesus. He's going to say, no, 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 you don't even know for sure if you're saved. You better have that settled, the proof of your salvation. Your actions are changed, your attitudes are renewed, and your acceptance is settled. And then look at the position that we have in our salvation. This is the secrets that God has for us in Romans chapter 8, the position, our position in salvation. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Our position in salvation. Our position is that we are heirs. We have an inheritance, the inheritance with Christ that we have. Now, understand this. I'm not saying that God is going to give us ownership of the universe, okay? No, but we are joint heirs with Christ. Imagine it this way. Imagine that a king who is in charge of his kingdom, his palace, and all that kind of thing, and the prince comes in, 9-year-old boy, and he comes walking in, and there's all this pomp and circumstance for anyone else who walks in before the presence of the king. But the 9-year-old boy can come right up to his father and walk right up there. He can go in every and any room because it's just as if he owns it. He's the heir. You understand that? So the inheritance that we have in Christ, that we're joint heirs with him. The Bible says, by the way, don't let me forget about verse 16 in case... I get a little bit excited about something and forget about it, because I want to give you something about verse 16 when this is all over. But we are a child of God, the inheritance that we have in Christ. 1 Peter 1:4 says this, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It is reserved. It is settled. It is secure. It's in heaven. You see, I can't touch my reservation. Nowadays, they actually put tickets on your phone, okay? When you go to fly, they'll have the proof of your ticket on your phone. For the longest time, for years, when they first started doing that, I wouldn't do that, Joy. I just wouldn't do it. I'd be afraid that maybe my battery might be dead, or sure as a world I couldn't find that on my phone, and I'm standing there in front of everybody. I liked having that piece of paper, you know, and that was just me. And from time to time, I've printed the paper, and I've done it on the phone too. And I had the paper right there, you know, but I gave the phone to him just to be cool. Just kind of fit in, you know, and with all that, to kind of prove that I'm not, you know, so old. But there have been times that I've had to have a certain paper, and I'd go like this and go like that, and I'd look at Hope, and she said, "Don't look at me. You said it was yours. You said you'd bring it." And I start looking, you know, through everything. Sometimes we can lose something. You know, if salvation was up to me, I surely would probably lose it. I really would. But our salvation is reserved in heaven. Our reservation is made up there. And I can't get at that. I can't lose that. That's settled. And the earnest of my salvation is the indwelling Spirit of God that he has sealed me with. So that's a wonderful thing, the inheritance that we have in him. And then look at verse number 18. The Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." This is our position. Our position in salvation is that we have an inheritance and in Christ, and we have suffering for Christ. Oh, gracious, I don't want to hear that. The Apostle Paul suffered. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was drug out of the city, left for dead, and just on and on, beaten with stripes and on and over again. These kinds of things. And he said, "I rejoice in the fact that I could suffer for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And there's a fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his suffering. He said this in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Weight. Heavy. W-E-I-G-H-T. Weight of glory. There's a substance to the glory that will be received from Jesus Christ to a faithful servant who has suffered for his name's sake. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly shall suffer persecution." So there will be times. Our position in salvation is that we have an inheritance with Christ. We have suffering for Christ, and we are waiting on Christ. We are waiting on Christ. Look at verses 19 through verse 25. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God." Now, you're going to see the word creature several times here. Who is it talking about, the creature? Well, let Scripture define Scripture, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." Okay, so although we are in the flesh, although outwardly we are the same person, we are a new creation. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. He quickened our spirit. Now we are, again, a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. We are a new creature, okay? So it's talking about believers, all right? So when you see that, don't worry. That's who you are, who it's talking about. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Verse 20, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." Huh. Why, there's some good preaching right there. The first fruits of the Spirit. "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." We wait for Christ. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God." Those are three sounds. Now, we have an end times conference coming, okay? Jimmy DeYoung is coming back to preach. He's been here, it's been several years since he's been here. I would venture a guess to say maybe 5 years since he preached here last. But you're not going to hear any preaching, even from Jimmy DeYoung, who is an authority upon the prophecy passages of the Word of God. You're not going to hear any preaching, even from him, looking for signs for the rapture. But you're going to hear preaching about the sounds for the rapture, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." You and I, in a moment, 1 Corinthians 15, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, that we will be given a glorified body. a body like unto Jesus's body. And we wait on that. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. The blessed hope of the believer. Our position in our salvation, in salvation, is that we have an inheritance with Christ, and we're suffering for Christ, and we're waiting on Christ. That's our position. So don't let the thing bother you that perhaps you look at people around the world and they seem like they own everything. No, wait a moment. They're just renting. Okay? We're the ones that are going to share ownership. And we're going to, during the millennial reign, by the way, just to remind you, this time that we call the age of grace, this time that we call the church age, the dispensation of grace, it will come to a close. Dispensation means God's means of redemption. God's reaching out with the means of redemption and pointing to the cross, pointing back to the cross, you know, forward and backward and all that kind of thing. Old Testament, New Testament. Innocence, and we probably need to do a study on dispensations at some point. But that's going to come to a close at the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds at the rapture. And then there's going to be a time of God's judgment upon this world. And Satan is going to not be hindered by the Spirit of God through God's people. 7 years of great tribulation going on. And it's going to be a time of destruction like this world has never seen or ever could imagine. At the end of that 7 years, Jesus Christ is coming back with, Jude says, with 10,000s of his saints. He's coming back with us. And he will set up his kingdom, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And who's reigning with him? We are. We are. Not because you're a member of Volusia County Baptist Church, but if you are a member of the family of God, if you are a child of God, the proof of our salvation, the position in our salvation, and next time we'll look at the prayer because of salvation. Our prayer because of salvation. And we're going to spend a lot of time in that section, verses 26 through 39. And we're going to spend several weeks on what God has to say about biblical prayer. And I believe that God will really help us there. I told you that I would help with something. Look at verse 16. This is what I was talking about. Verse 16. The Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, the Holy Spirit of God is a person. He is the third person of the divine Trinity. Okay? And I believe it's John chapter 16 and verse 13. Jesus said, and when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he heareth, that will he speak, and he will show you things to come. Over and over, Jesus says, he. And in verse 16 and in verse 26 that we'll look at later, the Bible says, the Spirit itself, beareth witness with our spirit. And before someone attacks the Word of God that was meticulously and carefully translated for us, before anyone just runs, oh, now see, wait a minute, see, you know, they didn't believe in the Trinity, they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit that was a person, you know. I'm not going to spend the time on it. I have a one-page, very simple explanation. And I've got copies of them down here that you can take home with you if you want. And I'll be glad to talk with you about it. But suffice it to say that the translators were extremely honest. And there was a great biblical, godly reason why it's presented that way. And so although the New Testament translators throughout the Word of God, in many and most of all other places, referred to the Holy Spirit as a person. And Jesus said the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to magnify Jesus Christ. It doesn't diminish the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This statement does not diminish the personhood of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't. In fact, it emphasizes it. Emphasizes the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our life. So that's just for those of you who that's been a little problem as you've read those verses. And never fear. No, I'm thankful that we can trust our Bible. I'm thankful. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would help us as we are studying these secrets that you have revealed to us about our salvation. And Lord, I pray that we would have the proof of our salvation, Lord, in our actions and our attitudes and our acceptance by you, that is settled. And that, Lord, our position is that we're a child of the King. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And because of that, there may be times that you'll call upon us to suffer. And Lord, may we be faithful in that. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for setting us the perfect example. And Lord, I do pray now that we would wait upon you and look for the blessed hope of your soon return. Lord, that will change our life. It will change the size of our problems going on in our heart today. Because they'll all be a distant memory once we see Jesus face to face. In whose name we pray these things. Let's stand to our feet, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We'll sing a verse of invitation tonight. And it may be that God has spoken to someone's heart and you don't have the proof of your salvation. And God is dealing with your heart. And maybe you have not tried to fool anyone, nothing like that. It's just that something God has told you that you need to nail this down and to not leave this church house. And maybe God said, you know, I don't know if you'll do this, but if he gives an invitation, would you come to me and settle this tonight? Won't you take him at his word? Don't leave this place without having that settled. As Brother John leads us, would you come if God spoke to your heart tonight?
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way,
Lord.
You might be in a time of suffering right now. And you would say, Lord, this is my position in Christ. At this time, help me to be faithful. I'm going to wait upon you. I want to be a good representation of the King. I'm his child.
Mold me and make me after thy will.
While I am waiting. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for preserving it and, Lord, giving it to us in a way that we can seek you and the Holy Spirit to turn the searchlight of its truth into our hearts. Lord, I pray now that you'll watch over as we go our separate ways. And, Lord, bring us back together again on Saturday and on Sunday. And, Lord, speak to our hearts mightily through Dr. Shetler. And, Lord, may souls be saved on Sunday, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.